It is time to talk Dictionary of Sydney. I'm joined by Dr. Peter Hobbins, historian at the University of Sydney. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Great, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It is always a pleasure to have you. Now, right now in New South Wales, I have the option of something like around 220 different public hospitals. Of course, it wasn't always that way, was it?
Not unless you were a convict or a soldier, it wasn't, no.
Convicts and soldiers had better healthcare. That's interesting.
Yeah, up until the late 1830s, the only people that the colonial government wanted to look after in a hospital system was convicts because they were such a valuable labour resource, and the soldiers who were there to supervise them and to maintain the security of the colony.
1830s seems very late for that to be sort of still happening to me.
It's quite reasonable in the context of what people thought about healthcare and especially what they thought hospitals were in the 19th century. And just quickly, a hospital in the 19th century was not a place you would go if you expected to be cared for and certainly not to be cured of your sickness.
Really?
It was much more like a convalescent home or possibly even a hospice for the dying. You really, if you were sick in the 19th century, you would call the doctor to come to you or you'd rely on the family or you'd have your own, say, herbal remedies. But going into hospital was seen as a treatment of absolute last resort.
So what shook up in the 1830s or the late 1830s to change the way the government at the time wanted to treat hospitals?
Partly the convict system was winding down, and so there were actually going to be facilities that were starting to be freed up. But also I think there was a new sense of what the government actually was, because none of these hospitals, none of the healthcare facilities were free for anybody who was a free settler at the time. But ideas of what government actually meant were also changing in this period, and it started to be seen as something that was beholden on the colonial government, particularly as the colony of New South Wales started to move towards the idea of self-government, freedom from Britain, that new ideas of who citizens were and what the government's responsibility for them were changed quite dramatically between, say, 1835 and 1855 when we did attain self-government.
I'm going to embarrass myself here, but what was the government system back in the 1830s in that kind of time period? Because I should know that and I do not, and that's really shameful.
Look, I think the key phrase to think about is the governor in council. And what that means is that the governor who was appointed by Britain was effectively in charge of running the colony. He had a legislative council, which were basically a people who he considered to be advisors who helped him. Gradually, they came to be elected representatives, and then we added the Legislative Assembly as well. So it's only over this same period, the 1830s to the early 1850s, that we developed the government system that we know roughly today, except the difference was that it was the governor, not a premier, who was actually running the government at the time.
So in terms of hospitals, about when would we have seen something that a modern person would recognise as at least very similar to a hospital?
In the 1840s, particularly around 1843 to 1845, the Sydney Infirmary and Dispensary was set up where now we can still find the Sydney Hospital on Macquarie Street. It's not the same building. It was rebuilt.
Damn.
But for instance, the Mint and also Parliament are both still original buildings from the very early convict or rum hospital that was set up in the 1810s. But in the 1840s, the Sydney Infirmary started to look a little bit like what we might consider to be a modern hospital. There were wards with beds in them. There were some nursing staff. There were surgeons and physicians who would look after healthcare. And there would be patients in there, generally not wanting to be there, but there because they could either afford to pay or they were paupers who'd thrown themselves on the charity of the government.
And so that was in the old Rum Hospital?
Yes.
Interesting. What was the next one? I mean, that must have been the start of something if we're going to get to 220 at some point.
Yeah, the next hospital for free settlers was St. Vincent's in Paddington, which was set up in 1857. And then you start to see ones like RPA, Royal Prince Alfred and so on being established in the 1860s and onwards.
Interesting. Now, I understand vaccination started coming in sort of, when are we looking at that, sort of around that time?
Yeah, so the idea of vaccination, of immunising somebody against smallpox in particular, had a pretty contentious place in the colony of New South Wales. It was always voluntary. So these days we presume that you're told that you have to be immunised against a whole range of diseases.
We hope so.
In the 19th century, smallpox was the only disease where there was anything like an effective vaccination. It was available from 1804, but it was never made compulsory, unlike many of the other colonies like, say, Victoria, South Australia or even New Zealand. They all passed compulsory vaccination laws, mainly to protect children against smallpox, because most people who came as immigrants had been either vaccinated on the voyage or had already had smallpox if they'd been in Britain, Ireland or the United States. But it was children born in the colony who were what these days we would call were immunologically naive. They'd never been exposed to diseases like smallpox, and they posed a huge risk as their numbers grew, especially in the 1840s, from 20 to 30% of the population.
That is fascinating. So, look, I think what I'm interested in is you said that sort of at the time hospitals were, you know, a very different idea to what we had now. How are these moves regarded? I mean, were these popular ideas setting up these hospitals? Do we know what the kind of feel of the public was for them?
The people who set up the Benevolent Asylum, which was up roughly where Central Station is now in Sydney, and also the Sydney Infirmary and Dispensary, which originally started near Macquarie Street and then was established there, the sorts of people who set those up were charitably minded, very much in their own estimation.
Of course.
They were well-to-do and aspiring colonists who felt it was their social duty, but also a way to social prominence, to show people how wonderful they were by setting up these establishments. Now, I do think they had genuinely benevolent motives as well, but there was no doubt that being a subscriber or a patron to one of these institutions was a way to increase your own personal standing in the colony. And the phrase I love from the period was that they felt that these institutions where you would corral the sick poor were seen as a moral and charitable quarantine between themselves and the humble classes.
Oh my. Peter, we're going to leave it there, but thank you so much for today. Of course, as always, head over to dictionaryofsydney.org for any a large amount of stories regarding Sydney. Peter, hopefully I have you back on soon. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.